Píšti máme.
Spíkalistý to kompájí.
Hello.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Are we waiting for others? Or are we going to get started? What's the
I think we may be able to get started. We have all of the team leads now. Okay. And I'm going to start sharing my screen. Okay, so hi everyone. Welcome to the Sprint 100 showcase, where we skipped from Sprint 54 to 100. So hopefully no one is looking for the 50 in between. So during this Sprint 100, we had Team Mind the Gap that was focused on newly forming as a team and the user profile management page during this sprint. They finished 25 story points. And these are the tickets that were worked on. For Team Parrot, their focus was finishing stock-based requisitions and reason tagging and starting the feature for improving CI workflow. Team Parrot finished 36 story points this sprint, and these are the tickets that were worked on for them. Team Ona focused on DevOps work for reporting, and during their sprint, they finished 11 story points, and these are the tickets that were worked on for their sprint. And last but not least, Team JSI. This sprint, they focused on the requisition R&R product lists, and they completed 8.5 story points. And as always, we'll take a look at our code coverage. And they're all passed. Are there any questions for any of the test coverage right now that we want to take a look at? And Mary Jo, did you have, did you want to take a look at the translations and share the translation status?
Yeah, it looks like there's about, there's 5 projects that have new messages, and I don't have the exact number of messages yet, but it looks like somewhere around like 8 new messages. So So we'll have to address those this next sprint.
Okay. Great. So who would like to get started with showcasing today?
Well, I'm happy to start unless there are volunteers.
Great. So Team Parrot will start.
Okay, in that case, let me share my screen and let me know if you can see it.
Yes.
Okay. So today I want to talk about 2 tickets, one that I have done the sprint and one that is in progress. And let me start with the one that is currently marked down. It's about creating stock-based requisitions using only available stock cards. So up to this point, when we attempted to create a stock-based requisition and we didn't have stock card for any of the facility type approved products, this would fail with an exception. We have changed that behavior. So now creating stock-based requisitions will create line items for those stock cards that exist. And if they don't exist, the line item simply won't be created for that facility type approved product. And we can easily test that using Devo to user. since this user doesn't have any physical inventory for his home facility created yet, as you can see here. And we will go ahead and create a stock-based requisition for the API program. And we currently end up with a requisition that doesn't have any line items added since we didn't have any stock cards. So let's delete this requisition and conduct physical inventory for the user's home facility. We will add one product. Let's say it will be Intervax BCG. Okay, I will submit that and I will change the date to 2016 since it needs to be before the requisition that we will be initiating. So I'm confirming that I won't be printing this. So now I have a stock card for Intervax BCG. And we'll see what happens if I try to initiate a requisition now. And I'm getting a requisition with BCG since it's currently the only stock card that exists from the list of available facility type approved products for this program and facility type. And this is basically what we wanted to achieve. And we can also take a look at the Divo1 user because for his home facility, we have stock cards for all the line items, as you can see here. And we will do the same and initiate stock-based requisition. We also can see all the products here. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Sebastian, you're going kind of quick, so I'm sorry if I missed this, just a clarification. When you made that stock card, did you make it in 2017? Or how did that work? As of today's date, we're in 2018, but this is the reporting period of 2017. Just wanted to confirm that it's checking for stock at that time.
So we were initiating a requisition for that starting the 1st January of 2017. Mm-hmm. I have created a stock card with an entry for 2016. At the point that we are initiating a requisition, there already is some stock. If I created this stock for like mid-2017, we wouldn't be getting any beginning balance for this.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions about this?
This looks good to me and what we talked about doing. So very excited to see it.
Okay, cool. So the next one is about a bug that Malawi is currently experiencing. And it's about requisition properties that can be overwritten if it's saved concurrently. And at this point I have started a topic on the developer forum. With the approach that we want to take. So everyone is welcome to take a look at this. And if they have any feedback on the approach, you are free to leave a reply. But I think at this point we have a clear vision what we will be doing as a part of this ticket, what will be the fixes. So in short, we'll be implementing optimistic locking at the database level, and we'll be also making some of the requests idempotent, which means that following requests to do the exact same thing will fail. But as I said, the details are on the forum, and I will also be updating the ticket to reflect what will be getting changed. So this is all that I wanted to share today from myself. Unless there are any questions, I will pass on to someone else.
Okay, I can say a few words about the regression testing in this sprint.
Great, thanks, Joanna.
Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so in the sprint, me and Sam, we held the regression testing. We executed the test cases concerning stock-based requisitions and administration, and in total there were 46 of them, and 5 failed. I'll tell you briefly about those that failed. All right, so the one concerning stock-based requisition and stock on hand failed. I created a ticket for that because I noticed that sometimes the values in the stock on hand column didn't match the data in stock on hand for a given period and facility and program, though it's quite a long one, so well, it's better to familiarize yourself to analyze it. Well, not now. Okay, so the other one was
Joanna. Just a quick question on this one, since we are kind of discussing and reproducing it. Was this found in the printout, like in the PDF, there was a difference, or were there between the screens?
It was a difference between the screens.
Okay, because we've had trouble reproducing this one, so I just wanted to let the team know we're still looking into this one.
All right. Do you have any other questions about this one? Okay, so the other one that failed was configure a vaccine stock-based requisition, and it was about the fact that when all columns in the requisition templates were selected as displayed, it wasn't possible to save the template, but it turns out that it was related to some ongoing work on stock-based requisitions, and now it's dead, as you can see. Okay, then there was an issue with creating processing schedules and periods. It wasn't, after creating one processing period, it wasn't possible to create another one because the start date wasn't automatically created, but yes, I remember that this is a recurring issue. Do you have questions? Okay. All right, so I also noticed another regression in the facility assignment configuration report, when there was a missing role assignment. after adding this role without choosing the supervisory note, the role was still there in the report, as if it was still missing. The report wasn't updated. And finally, the few facilities test case failed, but it was owing to a bug that has been there for some time and it's still there. Do you have any other questions about the regression testing?
Could you or Sam give an idea, or is everyone familiar with our approach for regression testing? Just wanted to make sure everyone was clear of the scope of the regression testing during the sprints.
We decided to perform regression testing every second sprint. So in this upcoming sprint, there won't be regression testing, but in the following sprint, we wanted to test two other components, stock management and CCE. So we'll be executing all these cases that are still valid and concern UI for these components.
Okay, so are you guys selecting components based on work that's being done, or just identifying different components to work through, just to be clear?
Well, we meet and we discuss, but this case, it was because there was some work recently done, and there was also ongoing work on stock-based requisitions. That's why we chose stock-based requisitions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
No. I didn't know, Sam, if there's anything you wanted to add, or...
No, there's nothing I want to add. Thanks, Joanna.
Okay, so thank you, and I'll let someone else share my screen. Mateusz will be showing now.
So we'll continue. So, okay, I assume you can see my screen now. Okay, so in the sprint, mostly I was working on implementing the new endpoints for the stock management to get summaries that will contain information about tags assigned to the reasons. So let me just show you how the response looks. So as you can see, the response is paginated. We have the orderable, which is actually a commodity type in this case. And for this commodity type, we have a number of stockout days that occurred in the given period. Then we have a list of tags, and for those tags that actually have corresponding reasons that have the stock card line items in this particular period. We have the list of them, yeah, and the amounts combined with all the stock card line items that were matching those tags. And the last one is amount of each of those tags combined. So yeah, this is basically the response. As the parameters, we have required facility ID, program ID, and then we can specify the specific tag. Let's just say we could just use adjustment. Okay. And the only one will be adjustment. Then we can also specify a specific variable. So let me just pass order array on the variable ID. And let's select the first one. Okay, and of course you will be able to specify multiple variable IDs. And we can also specify the range of dates, so the start and end date for the period that we want to get those values, so start date. And I will just select the 2017-09-01, so this is September, and the 30. And yeah, so the filtering and specifying a range of dates also works fine. So those will be the values that Claudia next will be showing in the requisitions. So do you have any questions about this endpoint? So yeah, if not, I will just say that the next one was, as Johanna said, this is the bug that that she found during regression testing, and as she said already, I marked this as dead because it was caused by the work in progress that was for the stock based requisitions. So it now works fine. And the two tickets that left are about stock-based columns populating from the endpoint that I showed you before. And we decided that Claudia will be showing that because she also done the two columns for the stock-based requisitions. So she will show the total system adjustment column and the total stock updates column. So are there any questions?
Mateusz, I had a question. When you were showing the API, the stock card range summary API response, mm-hmm. Have we, for I guess like for demo data, have we put in tags for like received and consumed?
Yeah, we didn't have those for now. So we could just like, let's say change it now, which add the tags to the reasons, yeah, in stock management, and those will show up here. Yeah. So for now, we don't have a stock card line items that actually have reasons with those tags, like received and consumed. So for the demo, the stock based requisitions, Claudia will use the credit and debit tags.
Okay.
Yeah, so if there are no more questions, I will just pass the ball to Claudia.
Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Okay. So the first ticket is about initiating a stock-based requisition, and here I've only changed this that stock event is not sent when template is configured to pull from stock cards, and it was just it. Next one, Here I rework modal to not contain selecting columns for a new template. And now it adds all available columns, and then user is moved to the column configuration. Okay, so we can add new template or maybe new program, create template, and as you can see we don't have columns here. Create and that's it. We have all columns here. And I also change label of skipped column to skip and some error messages. Next one is about adding bootstrap tags to stock adjustment reason. And I've added received and consumed reason tags here to the bootstrap data and to remove them from demo data. Next one is about text explanation for adding reason tags. And it was done on the reason add reason model here, and also here. And the last one is about populating total received quantity and total consumed quantity columns for stock weight requisitions. And as Mateusz said, I will show you all four columns. Okay, so I need to change the tags. Consumed debit and credit.
While you are doing this, do we have a ticket to adjust that demo data in stock management?
No.
Okay, I guess we should create.
Okay, and now I have to log in as file server manager. And initiate requisition. Oh, yeah, it should be negative. So probably another tag in a rich hotel.
I have no clue. Maybe I've just done so I'm not really sure. We were doing it on the test server like a couple minutes ago. You can show me the already existing requisitions that you created a minute ago. for the previous periods. I'm not sure why the
because we changed the
I assume that maybe there is there any changes are not there on the UAT server maybe. Yeah, so those are the already existing, we have created like a couple minutes before.
Yeah. So maybe it was for consumed, to that consumed, yeah. So I'll change it to consumed. Okay, and yeah, we don't have consumed quantity because we don't have stock card line items for consumed tag. But we have also, as you saw, we have an error when a consumed quantity is not negative. And I can show you that there are these values from here. Yes. Yeah, I believe that's it. Yeah, we have adjustment. Here we have credit and stockout days.
Okay, so do we understand what's the problem with the total consumed quantity?
Yeah, so the problem is that we don't have any line items with reasons.
No, I mean this error that we are getting with the total consumed quantity cannot be negative.
This error is actually okay because it seems that total consumed quantity is above zero, right? And so the actually lost stock card line items are above zero, right? And so the calculated value for those tags, for this tag actually is above zero. So it means that we have a problem with the configurations of tags in the template rather than with the stock card.
Well, I'm not actually not sure about that because I think that we should be receiving like a negative value from the endpoint because for the consumption we are like reducing our stock.
But the message was about that about zero.
Yeah, it's not negative.
It's not negative.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can show Claudia Postman again and you can see that for the consumed actually.
Yeah.
As you can see, not the consumed. The credit is 296, which actually should be a negative value. So
debit.
So debit for some reasons actually should be a positive
here.
Then, yeah. So it's two. So there is an issue with the metadata rather than with the actual endpoint or initiation itself. or with the configuration of tags and requisition template, but it's the other.
Yeah, that's clear. Thanks.
Any other questions?
No, it'd be great to follow up on this though about how we're going to mitigate it going forward, or if we need to change the demo data, or what is, if you could just keep us updated.
Okay, so Echo.
Yeah. Good job.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Good. So the first ticket I have been debunk on was about improving performance of getting orders. And I managed to reduce the response time from about 9 seconds to about 3 seconds. As you can see in our performance test. Yeah, so previously it was like 8 or 9 seconds, and now it's about 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Jakob, what's the P90 on those values? Okay, so it's from 11 seconds to 4 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, yeah, so the acceptance criteria says to reduce it to 500 milliseconds, but I wasn't able to do that. But I created a couple of tickets to further improve the performance, because we have endpoints like searching programs or searching periods that couldn't be used in bulk to get all the programs in by IDs, for example. So after we will do them, the performance should be improved even further.
Jakob, could you add those to the performance epic, so we don't lose track of them?
Yeah, sure. I'll do that after the showcase.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, so the next ticket was about updating documentation with the patch release process. And yeah, I've added a new section about patch releasing a component, and updated the one about releasing reference distribution so that it's clear that we are branching for a release. The next ticket I think I already showed on the last showcase, but it's basically a job that's used by all our pipelines to run contract tests. And that's how it looks like. It's also defined by a pipeline, and it takes service name as a parameter. The next ticket is about preventing pushing to transifex in branches other than master. So I updated the UI and all the UI components and also all the backend services so that they are no longer pushing to trans effects. In Bronte Soldering Master, and I also had to change the version of DevUI to 8.0 because we've modified some parameters there. So previously we had one parameter to sync with trans effects that was used both for pushing and pulling. And now we have two separate parameters. And the last ticket was a bug. There was internal application error when a user tried to initiate a requisition which also the program was inactive. And yeah, let's have a look at this. So we can log in as administrator. And first we have to make the association program inactive. Yes, I think I already did that before. Basically, the family playing program is inactive here. And now we can log in as some user. And we have family playing available here to select. And once we click search, the error message will appear that saying that the program is not supported. Yes, so as you can see, we went with option B. Okay, so I think that's all I had. Do you have any questions?
No, I think we can.
I'm passing the device to Monica.
Yeah, so I voluntarily will present the first as the person from Mind the Gap team, and let me share my screen really quick.
I'd like to say nice job, Mind the Gap team, on making a team name. Team JSI and Ona, feel free to make a team name as well if you want.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so this sprint I was working mainly on the user profile page. The first thing I did was designing how it will look in our Balsamiq. So this is basically the mockup for this, but the screen was also fully implemented, mostly implemented in the sprint. So I will just jump right to it and show how it looks in real life. Okay, so the first part of the user profile was actually done by Łukasz, and he will probably showcase that. So I will start with viewing the roles on the user profile page. So as you can see, let me. Let me log in. Okay, so as you can see, we went with a similar approach we use for roles in our user edit screen. So we have separate tabs for different types of roles. Currently, the user has no roles. I will move to admin screen and add some to the user to show that they are actually showing. So let me just add a couple of roles. Save the user. I will now log out. Log back in as the new user, and as you can see, the roles that I added are present in the grids. I didn't add any role for the administration, and there is none shown. So that's it for the role display. The second thing I was working on was a password reset by the user. So to show that, I will click the change button, and as you can see, I can enter a new password for the user. I will change it to password 2, for example. I will reset the password, and I am immediately logged out. I will try to log using the new password, and as you can see, that worked. I can also reset my password by sending an email. So to do that, I will quickly create an email. Because I can do that if the user has no password. So I have to update the profile. And as you can see, the how the reset password model looks has changed. I will now send the email, and I should receive it in a couple of seconds. Yes, so as you can see, I've got the email. I can now move, set a new password. I will use the password 3 for this. And I will attempt to log in using this password. And as you can see, I'm logged back in. So that's it if it comes to the reset password model. I have also introduced a functional test for viewing the profile and editing user. So as you can see, we have a really quick, really short test for viewing the page. And right here we have a test for a happy path, which is basically changing all the fields and attempting to save the user profile. Yes, and the last thing I was working on this sprint was fixing the pagination for screens in a situation where when we have a parent state and a child state both providing pagination. Before fixing this, they were using the same parameters in the URL. So changing something on one screen was also changing the, for example, page on the other one. And also when we were using the back button of the browser for coming back, the pagination would break completely. So it was done by introducing a new feature to our pagination, which let us select a custom name for the parameters. So each of the screens can have its own parameter and use those for pagination. And I believe that's all for me. The other thing I'm also working on is fixing the adding processing period, and I will most likely have to do some big changes to the OpenLMIS date picker directive. Are there any questions?
I have a question. Nicodem, for the password reset by user, it probably wasn't in the ticket, but I noticed that when you click on change password and you actually want to reset your password like by entering a new one, it doesn't have any information about what's a valid password, but then the other time when you sent an email and then the user clicked on the link and then reset password, there was like a message saying what's a valid password. So is it possible to add that same message here?
Yeah, it's definitely possible, but it will also change how the model looks for the admin screen, which I think also makes sense in that case.
Seems like it would be helpful.
Okay, I will create a ticket for that.
Thanks.
Okay, so are there any other questions? Then I will pass the ball to Lukasz.
I also saved in the configuration guide, there's a mention about resetting the password. Since this is a new way, I just flagged it there that will need to be updated.
Yeah, so I will also create a ticket for that.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just right now it says the only way you can reset it is by contacting the admin. So it's just a quick change to say there are more than one way now to reset it.
Okay, so I will just update the guide.
Yeah, I'll comment where it is.
Okay, so I will let Lukasz showcase now.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yep.
Okay, in this sprint I mainly work on two tickets. First one was about show basic user information on the profile screen and add ability to edit some of the fields. The screen was already shown by the Nicodem, but I show some additional things. Like, for example, fields name and last name are those fields are required. So if user not provide values for those inputs and try to update profile, the error message will be shown. Same thing for the invalid email address, something like this one. User cannot change home facility, job title, and username. He or she can also provide some phone number. And everything should work. Yeah, of course, if user changed some data and would like to back to the previous version, he can click cancel button and everything should back to the previous state. And I think it's everything about this ticket. The next one was about the reset password. As part of this ticket, I modified the model, which was shown by Nicodem. And was also shown that if user has email address set, the user or the admin has two options to reset password. because the same model is used on this screen when administrator creates the reset password. So again, if user has email, administrator can select if email password should be sent or manually reset password. And if user don't have email passwords, not sure if we have user, no. If we quickly create a user without email, we'll see that we have only one option that is set manually the password. Also, as part of this ticket, I block the way to disable this model when user is created. So the admin has to send email address on send a password. This should prevent the situation when user is created, but the password is not set and user cannot log into the system. Okay. Okay. The next two small tickets, one was about modify the performance test in this way that we retrieve access token only one time because all our performance tests takes less than 1 hour, so single access token should work for all of them. And the last one was about error message in the console on Firefox browser when user try to reset password. Because by default, if there is no response and content type is not set, the Firefox treat response as XML instead of JSON. And the solution was, I tried to create a solution on the UI side, but in the end, I slightly modified the backend, and now if the response don't have a content type header, we set a default to JSON. And that's everything from me. Do you have any questions, any of those tickets? Okay, if no, then who wants to be next?
Hello, if that's everyone from SolidWall side. So we will ask some other team take over now.
Chung-Sun, do you have anything from Mind the Gap?
Or? No, not on the Mind the Gap side.
Okay.
So Ashraf or Craig, do you want to kick off for either of your teams?
Yeah, so this is Ashraf. So I think I have to go at 10, like 30. So that's why I'm just wanted to start with our team. So, and this time we are now prepared to individually kind of showcase. So we can start with Elias first. Elias, are you available?
Yes, I'm available. I'm sharing my screen now.
Okay.
Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So in this sprint, I have been working on about 6 items. I will be talking about those items. The first story that I worked on is OLMIS 4792. This is to make sure that the additional options column in the RNR templates is translatable. And that's to make sure any entry that you see here would be translatable. Initially, these were database entries, so there was no translation option for those. And I've made sure that these are translatable with this sprint. The next story that I worked on is 4683. This is to carry over skipped value from previous requisition based on the template configuration. Here we had 2 options to either use user input or to use the previous requisition option to kind of source the skipped column value. And in this implementation, what I've tried to do was to make sure that the previous requisition, if the previous requisition is selected as the source of the skipped column, that will be using the previous requisition skipped value in the current requisition. This is also implemented. So for example, if we go to essential medicines, now notice that in this RNR, we have two line items that are skipped. And this is for this reporting period. And if I submit this and initiate a new one, we are going to see if the skipped value is copied. So this is a new period, which is 2017 Q4, and this was not initiated yet. So if I click proceed, you would see that the skip values for those two commodities that were skipped in previous requisition are also skipped. This is dependent on the RNR template configuration on the skipped column. The next story that I worked on is to make sure that the skipped line items are hidden from the RNR screen. If on the requisition template, the configuration is to hide them. Currently, the configuration here was to disable the skipped line items, but not to skip them. So if I try to submit this first. Now, if I change this to hide skipped line items, and come back to the requisition. You would notice that the two line items were already that were already skipped are hidden from the screen, and they do not show up in the star requisition. So this story was about making sure that the skipped line items are hidden from the RNR screen. We also have a similar story for the approval screen, and this behavior would also be observed in the RNR in the approval screen. So if I go to the approval screen and for these requisitions, the template actually is cached. So based on which template was used for that requisition, it's going to show exactly that behavior. So for this requisition, the RNR was initiated while the configuration was to hide the line items. So you'd see that in the approval screen too, it would hide the line items that are skipped. So the other story that I worked on is, and also something that is in progress, which is not yet published, is about the functionality to add additional products to the requisition form when the hide option is selected. So in the previous test that we've seen, you've noticed that we have this line item and two line items were hidden from screen. How do we get them back? So for this, we have a new button on the full supply line, on the full supply tab to add products. And when I click on add products, it would show me the list of products that were skipped. So in this dialog box, I would be able to select any line item that I would like to unskip, and I'll be able to click on add product, and it would automatically put it on the top of the line items here, and it would allow me to enter data for that specific line item. So another thing that's related to this same ticket is if, for example, I saved this requisition, it would be possible to, it would automatically make sure that the display order is readjusted, and if there was a number of pages on this RNR, it would allow this line item to go to the specific page that it was supposed to be. So this is related to OLMI 4684. And I think the fact that we have the table display would allow us to scale this search functionality. So for the next story, I have OLMIS 4685, which is to make sure that the list that you see on the dialog box is something that you would be able to search. So for that, I've added this search box here. So since we have only one item, it's not that good to demonstrate here, but let's try another program. So here, if I clicked on add, you would see that the list is a bit longer and it's also paginated. It's using the same OpenLMIS pagination component. So here I'll be able to use the name of the drug, or I would be able to use the code to search for the product. And be able to add it. And I'll be able to also decide not to add these products, and I'll be able to cancel. So this is the progress that I've made on this ticket. These are not yet published, but today I would be able to complete the remaining tests that I have to write to make sure that at least 80% of the new code is covered, and I'll be able to push it. So if you have any questions, I'll welcome.
Elias, I had a quick question. This is Brandon.
Sure.
The search box, when you opened up that add product modal, looked like it had some weird borders around it. I wondered if that was still something you were working on.
Yes. That's coming from the way the requisition code has this class to make sure that the requisition is displayed this way. And it's I've seen that that's also one of the other things that I wanted to complete. Like I need to remove the style that is applicable for requisition, and also make sure that it displays correctly.
Okay, cool. Yep, just wanted to make sure you saw that.
Yes.
Cool.
Looks good.
Thank you. Who's next?
Yeah, so in the interest of time, maybe we can move on along. If there's no question for Elias, we can go to Mohammed. Mohammed, are you there? Like you may be on the mute, Mohammed. Like we can see your screen, but we cannot hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I started working on 3889, which is to fix the facility assignment report. It's a JSPA report where it was showing null values in the supervisory node column. So I was able to fix the JRXML file, but in order to test it, so I had to generate the content, binary content, and save it to the database. And I was trying to use the API that would generate the binary content. I was not able to run the API from my local environment. And then I posted my question on Slack. And then I got some tips on there to try out a couple of more other options. And it was also noted that the API page is broken. Somehow it's not working. So the suggestion was to use some other alternate approaches. So I haven't tried those yet, but I will try them out. So once I finish my local testing, then I will put in the review and then move to the next level. In addition to that, I was also working on creating the test cycles for this sprint. So this is the test cycle that I've created. And I added stickers that alias demo. So there are six tickers corresponding to the ticket that he worked on to create the test steps and then execute the steps. So I haven't executed this the test yet, but I have created the test for those. So that's my status at this moment. Any question?
A quick question. That RAML error, the API error. Do we have a ticket to track that? Is it a bug?
It seems to be a bug. I'm not sure that I posted this question to Conrad, right? And he said that it's not working for him as well. He said, I'm also getting the same error. I guess it's a bug in the API console.
Okay. Could we post a bug in our Jira just to know, just to try to get a sense of what's wrong there?
Okay, sure. I'll do that.
Cool. Thanks.
Any other question?
If not, we can move to Adunia.
Hi, Adunia.
Okay. Adunia is joining from Ethiopia and don't know whether his internet is going to cooperate, but let's see.
Hi, can you see my screen?
Yes, we can see your screen and we can also hear you. Go ahead.
All right. Screen.
No, we don't see the screen anymore. Yeah, back again.
From the list of my tickets I've been working on, one of the tickets was 6388. It was basically suggesting that for timeless report, this report. Okay, it's visible, right? Hello?
Yeah, we're not sure what you are trying to show. Could you explain?
Okay. So I've been working on this ticket, 33, 32, 88. as a so related with a time management report.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever a user tries to run this report, the period selection doesn't respect the program selection. So the ticket basically asks us for whenever a program is selected, the period has to be populated based on the selected program. So previously, whatever program is selected, all the periods will be populated. It doesn't respect the selection of the program. So at this time, So user class restrict. At this time, the period selection is disabled. So we can select a specific program. So the period will be completed based on that program. So if I can change to another family planning, program related with family planning will be populated on the prepared selection. So this one was the ticket created for 3288. So it's currently done. So what's remaining is just to push my course and the associated unit tests. So the next one was a missing 45. It says when somebody tries to save a facility in Postman, basically it happens in Postman. If we load a specific facility and we change the ID of the facility on the payload, so the API has to change that the incoming payload facility ID and the one we are fetching the current facility, so the one we fetched, have to be the same. So previously, it doesn't violate that. It was showing internal server error, Java lang stack overflow. This time it was fixed from the postman. I can fetch a facility. It's okay. So on Postman, okay, I can fetch a specific facility with this ID. So it's fine. I can copy this payload. And I can update the facility again with put request. So it's fine again. But in the meantime, if I change the facility ID, If I can pick another facility ID and alter the payload for the saved data. On the payload, if I change the facility ID here. it's a bit slow. So my intent is to change this. Oh, sorry, in the body. Here you go. Post it. So the ticket says it should show an error that the facility ID mismatch is currently happening. So the facility ID mismatch, the ID that was provided in the facility body is different from the one in the URL. So that's what the ticket was recommending to be fixed. So currently this one is currently fixed. And the last one is the timers report. And the timers report, we have a null wipe. So, is it before we fix it? Sounds really and essential medicine, for April. The facility type is fixed. This one is colorable. So that was a three tickets that I've been working. And that's it. Is there any question?
Nice to that you were able to work on some bugs.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I wish you screen.
Yeah, and so those bugs are still waiting to be tested.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
So that's all from the GSI side. I think we can. Somebody else can take over.
Ashraf.
Yes.
Okay. Now from, I believe, all we have left is Team Ona. Antoinette. Danya, I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Peter and Craig are not able to join at the moment. So I'm going to present on the tickets I worked on. Okay. So these are the This was one of the tickets I worked on, research and experimenting on Kafka's immutable storage and research testing and documenting on mechanism for version control and auto loading of Kafka topics. This is done and the other one is in progress. So this was my findings. these were my findings. So Kafka is able to store, to act as a historical storage for a certain period of time. And this time can be set in a log retention policy in a properties file. So Kafka stores messages or records in a Kafka topic. A Kafka topic is basically a category name which receives records, real time, streaming, yeah, depending on when it's sent. So in order for Kafka to be an immutable storage, for an infinite retention policy has to be set. But for it to act as a compacted topic, a cleanup policy has to be set. So in Kafka's log compaction, it stores messages based on keys. Each key only stores a value, and when the same key receives a new record, it will delete the previous record, the previous value, and store only the latest incoming value. So, so the log cleaner has to be set to true, has to be enabled in the properties, the Kafka properties file, and this is how it works. So say you send these two records to a Kafka topic, it will store both of them, but once you edit, say the name from full ID 1, from foo to fuba, it will only store the latest value for the ID. That's how Kafka log compaction works. Basically, and these are the configs you set, and these are the commands. Any questions? No.
Is this documentation that we're adding to developer docs, or where does this live?
So I added it as a comment in here, in the ticket.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was basically to just comment my research and experiment on Kafka compacted topics.
Okay. Great.
That's basically it on my side.
Antonik, could you pull up the sprint board for Ona just so we could see? I know that Craig would normally do this.
Sure.
Just that we could see the other things that were being worked on. Peter and Craig aren't here to showcase it. Just.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So this was our board. The first one was setting up NiFi, creating a GitHub repo, and Dockerize it and add it to Docker Hub. I think Peter worked on this, and it's done, including the blocker issues. I don't know much about this. The other one was setting up Druid or Postgres, creating a GitHub repo, and creating the Docker files. Same thing, this is done and was done by Peter. Same thing, I don't know much about this. Okay, so there's a comment from Craig. So we do not need to do this.
That's fine. You don't have to go into the details, just kind of in the last few, just so we all know kind of what was completed.
Okay, so four tickets were closed and one is in progress. No, actually more than four. Six tickets. Two are in progress.
Great, thanks.
Sure.
Okay, so
I think we had everyone showcase today that was going to showcase. So thank you, everyone. Are there any other questions or comments before we close?
I just wanted to say, this is Brandon from the Village Reach side. I'm really glad to see and hear new voices and new contributors and see the community growing. So welcome to the new folks. It's great that we're onboarding more developers and starting to work on code and start making changes to the system. So super, super exciting for me to see, and thanks to everybody who's contributing.
Great. Thanks, Brandon. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day, too. Bye, everyone.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.